Wednesday morning, flying from Cincinnati, Ohio to Chicago. They brought us some food, a little snack of food, potato salad on a leaf of lettuce, and a piece of cold turkey rolled up with a toothpick through it, and a piece of cheese, Swiss cheese, a toothpick through that, and a piece of roast beef, cold beef, with a toothpick through that, and a little brownie about 2 inches square, I guess. And I watched the stewardess taking up the food, or the dishes at the end. And I watched the food thrown away. Not one person on the airplane, except the man you're looking at right now, ate his lettuce. Not one. I mean, really the only good thing, decent to eat, on the tray. Nobody ate it. We have never learned. I know you're asking me, yeah, we don't care about pizza. You go ahead. Eat like you want to eat. But brother, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and if you don't take care of it, God's going to hold you accountable for it. I know we cut up that with the house eating habits and trying to eat right, but in God's dear name, what's wrong with us? We haven't got enough sense to take care of the most precious thing we have on the face of the earth. It's time for you to quit giggling about coffee and start quitting it. It's time a few folks quit giggling about people that try to drink fruit juices and eat fruit and food that God made it and good vegetables, and while you stuff yourself with your pastry. And I'm not preaching on this morning, except in God's name, what's wrong with us? When we haven't got enough sense to realize we only have one body. People often say, how can you go so much? You'd go a lot more, too, if you'd put the right kind of fuel inside your machinery. Stuff yourself with Coca-Colas and stay awake on coffee and fill up on pizza. And by the way, don't you laugh. I'm preaching to you something that is as scriptural as John 3:16. I mean, your body is not yours. My body is not mine. I'm not preaching this morning, but I absolutely wonder sometimes what's wrong with us. Listen, your chickens get better food than you get. Your dog eats better food than you eat. Don't you laugh at me while I'm preaching the truth to you. Your cow gets better food. In God's name, why shouldn't the temple of the Holy Spirit learn how to take care of itself? Well, you need to. Well, I want you to live a while. I need your tithe. But I watch the people. And by the way, wait, what are you talking about that for? It is this philosophy we have in America nothing can happen to us, but it can. You can have cancer. You can die prematurely. You can ruin your health and ruin your body and thereby not be able to serve God. We can run out of food in America. We can run out of gasoline in America. God will judge this nation. We have the strangest idea. We've been inoculated by some kind of a heavenly inoculation or immunization against the wrath and judgment of God. But ladies and gentlemen, just as sure as hunger prevails in South America, and just as sure as hunger prevails in India, your boys and girls and my boys and girls can walk naked around the streets of this area, hungry for food, without food to eat, if we don't come back to decency and realizing there's a God in heaven who's not going to laugh at us and mock us continually. Now watch the people. The food that was thrown away, I mean thrown away. Most of the people ate the brownie. The one thing not fit to eat on the entire plate. And I wept as I realized we have a food shortage. Have you bought a head of lettuce lately? I mean, they were throwing away one of the most expensive and precious commodities in the world. And some of you young people, in God's name, while you're young and have bodies that are strong, learn how to take care of your body. And why don't you resolve to obey 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all the glory of God. And that's one reason why several years ago I told God I'd burn the candle at both ends. I promised him I'd put only in my body what was good for it. I promised him that I would wait upon the Lord. I claimed Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I promised God to make Isaiah 31 my golf game. I promised God to make Isaiah 31 my relaxation. And I promised God that I'd go day and night, that I'd do my best to take care of the body He has given me, and that I would wait on God and walk with God and try, because of the lateness of the hour, try to help save this untoward generation. Brethren, this is it. We are living in the most exciting and yet the most exacting fulfillment of Bible prophecy this world has ever seen. There has never been in the history of our nation more Bible prophecy fulfilled as fast and as much as being fulfilled today. I'm going to give you several things. Much of this is review for many of you. Much of it is new. I'm going to give you several things that are happening before our eyes that lead me to believe this is it. Now, most of you, would you all go back home and not do a thing about it? But whether you believe it or not, brother, we in America are facing the reality the rest of the world has faced for years. This is it. And don't you think for a single minute that it could be possible, that not possible, for our nation. Listen, if we have a serious oil and gasoline shortage, don't you realize that the automobile industry is going to be affected? Don't you realize that if we have the kind of shortage we may have, that the industry that is the nerve center of this entire nation, the auto industry. Now, don't you realize that if the automobile industry is affected, don't you realize what that's going to do to the Calumet region? Think of these steel mills out here. Now, if the steel mills don't produce, and if the autos are built and the steel mills don't produce, it will paralyze this entire area. I mean, we are laughing ourselves into and about to enter in an era of poverty and famine that has been predicted by every decent and every knowledgeable person in America that's going to take place in this century. This is it. This is it. I believe with all of my soul the coming of our Lord is just around the corner. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is going to come. I believe the things that I'm going to give you this morning are things that will happen as soon as Jesus comes. There are many things in the Bible prophesied that will take place during what we call the tribulation period. And Brother Bob, would you take care of that outside, please, like we always do? There are many things prophesied in the Bible that will take place during the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a 7-year era immediately after the rapture of the saints. When Jesus comes for us, the dead in Christ rise, and the living shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be caught up and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. As soon as we are called up to meet Him in the air, then an awful, terrible, tragic, unbelievable time of bloodshed and horror, sin, famine, war, shall transpire for 7 years on this earth. Now, there are many things that are going to transpire during that period that are ripening today. For example, when I first began studying Bible prophecy, I realized that before Jesus could come, or after rapture, in the end time war, that Eastern Germany and Western Germany must be divided. Now, I used to worry about that. There was no sign in this world that Germany would ever be divided. The Bible teaches us that Eastern Germany is going to fight on the side of Russia in the end time war. The Bible teaches us that Western Germany is going to fight on the side of the Western powers in the end time war. How could it be, I used to ask myself, how could it be with a united Germany? How could it be that Germany would ever be divided? But in World War II, when the American forces came from the West and Russia came from the East and conquered Hitler and his armies, we found that there was a division of Germany. And God was preparing this nation for the coming of His Son. I mean, as you see today, Eastern Germany on the side of Russia and Western Germany on the side of the Western powers, you mark it down, this is it. This is it. I used to read in the Bible about Russia and her allies coming in the end time. The Bible says that Russia shall come with horses on to Palestine. Russia owns 75% of all the horses in the world today. The Bible teaches us that Russia would come with her allies and attack little Palestine. With her would come Turkey and Iran and Egypt and Ethiopia and other countries. In fact, if you will take the Bible, if you will take your Bible and check the alignment of the nations of the end time battle, for the first time in the history of this world, ladies and gentlemen, they are aligned. There is not one single nation on the face of the earth that would have to change your alignment for the end time battle to be fought today. Not one. I used to wonder about China. In the early days of my Bible study, I used to wonder about China. The Bible teaches in Revelation 16, verse 12, that China will come across a dried up Euphrates River and fight against the nation of Israel and fight against the Western powers in the end time battle. China had to go communistic. Well, you and I can recall in the early days of our lives, many of us, Chiang Kai-shek and the great power of China. China was our ally. We sent missionaries to China. And we used to wonder, how is China going to get on Russia's side? But right before our eyes, we have seen and read and heard about China becoming the second largest communist power on the face of the earth today. This is it. The Bible teaches us that in the end time battle, that the Roman Empire will be revived. The Bible teaches us that the boundaries of the Roman Empire once again will be revived, and there will be 10 nations in that empire. In the last year or two, we have seen the European common market revived or formed. We have seen, do you know how many nations there are today in the European common market? 10. Do you know what boundaries that common market encompasses? Almost exactly the same boundary of the old Roman Empire. I mean, we're seeing it. Let me tell you something, my precious friend. If you ever intend to get saved, you better hurry. If you ever intend to do something for God, you better hurry. I mean, we're living in the midnight hour of this age. The coming of our Lord draws nigh. Gabriel is even now wetting his lips and blowing the air out of his trumpet, getting ready to sound the trumpet. The dead are about to rise. Our Lord's about to come in the clouds of glory. The clock is about to strike midnight. In God's name, if you're going to do something for God, do it! This is it. This is it. We read in Zechariah chapter 14 about the earthquake that is going to come in the end time on the Mount of Olives. You have read how the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14 that the Mount of Olives is going to break right in two, cleave in twain. How could that be? Seismologists and scientists tell us that the Mount of Olives is just about to have an earthquake today. Check with any of them. They say that there is a boiling in the Mount of Olives, and the earthquake that recently shook Turkey, they have traced that earthquake and have found the fault that caused that earthquake goes right straight to the Mount of Olives. What I'm saying to you is this: God says in the end time, during the tribulation period, the Mount of Olives will cleave in twain. And scientists tell us the Mount of Olives could cleave in twain any day. Let me remind you of this, my brother and sister, and that is that as soon when the Mount of Olives cleaves in twain, your chance of salvation is gone. Our Lord is coming before that time. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 3. That in the tribulation period, after Jesus has come for his own, the sea will be turned as red like blood. The Bible teaches us that the seas of this world, the oceans, will become red like blood. A professor stood several years ago in Oxford University and lectured on this very subject. And that professor, not a Christian, that professor said, there is a microbe. In fact, almost every week I read something about this in some paper somewhere. There is a microbe in the sea that is going to bloom. And when that microbe blooms, it will turn the waters of the sea blood red. That was a scientist at Oxford University, not a rabble-rousing fundamentalist preacher. A scientist. And scientists tell us, and they tell us in papers all the time, they tell us that now this microbe in the sea is in the budding stage. Do you know the seas of this world are just about to turn blood red? And when they do, Jesus has just come for his own. Now you can say what you want to say. You can call me a rabble-rouser. You can say I'm an old-fashioned fundamentalist, an old-fashioned bigoted preacher, and I'm getting all excited about it. You say what you want to say, brother, but you're not going to laugh very much when one of these days you look around and don't find Hiles to preach on Sunday morning. You come down to the church and you find all these fellows gone and the rapture's taken place and you're left, and you will be left to be damned forever and ever and ever and ever because you wouldn't listen to what God said in this blessed book. Now you better listen to me. This is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 3 that in the last days, in the tribulation period, there'll be a great plague of locusts on the face of the earth. The Bible tells us in that day, locusts will come and destroy crops and help to cause a famine. Have you heard this week on the news about the invasion of locusts that is taking place in America? Have you read this week in our papers that there is a serious invasion? Seven of the locusts can destroy one square yard of grass. Our farmers are alarmed. Our nation is worried about the inevitable attack from locusts. Now you had all these things up, the division of Germany, Russia and her allies, China going communistic, revived Roman Empire and the common market, the earthquake on the Mount of Olives, the blood, the sea, sea turning blood red, and the invasion of locusts. This is it. This is it. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 11. We're taught that the waters in the tribulation period will be polluted. Are we having any problem about water pollution today? If you heard anything lately about the water at Cedar Lake, or have you read anything lately about the water in Lake Michigan, or have you heard any alarm lately about the waters turning or becoming so polluted we cannot have drinking water? Why doesn't somebody stop to realize? Mr. Nixon said the other day, God bless him, and I feel sorry for him. He's in the hospital, and he's in a lot of trouble. And I think some of the folks that they're quizzing are guilty. I think that the folks being quizzed are almost as guilty as the folks quizzing them. I've often said it's just one group of crooks quizzing another group of crooks. And I'm for the Watergate investigation. As soon as they get through with it, they start investigating the crowd that's doing the investigating. But I'm simply saying, Mr. Nixon, I feel sorry for him. I do. I do not think he deserves all he's going through, and I mean that. And I hope he's found innocent with all of my heart. But he said, we just do not understand what's going on in this age. And I said, if you'd give me an hour with you in the White House, I could explain what's going on in this age. We're facing the end times. Jesus is about to come. The clouds are about to break. Heaven's about to open. The archangel is about to shout. The trumpet's about to sound. The dead are about to rise. The living in Christ are about to meet the Lord in the air. In God's name, if you can see the handwriting on the wall, get right with God before it's too late. Add to that the merging of religions prophesied in Revelation 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Look at it. I'll read it to you. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. Listen. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld an old black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. Now get this. A measure of wheat is the amount of food that the Jew ate in one day. A measure of wheat for a penny. A penny, and it's not actually a penny, it's another word, denarius, but this penny here was exactly a day's wage for a Jew. What is he saying? He's saying that there's going to come a day in the tribulation period after our Lord comes, and our Lord comes in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 6 is in the tribulation period immediately after the coming of our Lord. He says it'll take a day's wage to buy enough food for one person for a day. Then he goes on to say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. Now get this. Now follow me carefully. It's going to take one man, one day's wages, to buy his own food. Now another person's going to have to work to buy the food for three people. Now get this carefully now. What does it mean? It means it's going to take both the husband and the wife working to pay for the food for the four in the family. Just the food. Not to mention the rent. Not to mention the bills. It says one day's wages will pay for one person, and another person works and gets enough food for three people. It is saying it'll take mother and father both working to pay for the food for the famine. Now you listen to me. God does not look down and see this famine, any famine, and the shortage of food, and the high food prices, and say, uh-oh, God prophesied it 2,000 years ago. And we're here. It's here. This is it. This is it. This is it. Big universities in this nation, Bob Jones University is one I understand, have bought up car upon car of food, holding it in reserve for the famine that's going to come in just a few years. Wise people tell us that with the population explosion, they tell us that in the 1980s, we'll have people in America standing, starving to death on street corners like they do in India. Brother, we're just about to reap what we've sown. We said we'll eat all the food we want and let our kids, let our the folks who follow us dig it out the best they can. We'll raise our national debt. And we'll just go in debt and go in debt and go in debt and make debts we can't pay in our generation. Let our grandkids pay it. Now we've ruined the soil, we've ruined the air, we've ruined the water, we've ruined the food supply, we've ruined the world. And now we're saying to our children, here it is, rot! But one thing that we're going to have to do, we're not going to make it, brother, in our lifetime. We're going to pay for it ourselves. And God's going to let this wicked generation that's been selfish, thinking only of itself, God's going to let us taste a bit of what we decided to leave for our children. And now we have an oil shortage. Would you listen to Revelation chapter 6? Listen carefully again. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil. There it is. There it is. Right there. The Bible prophesies in a tribulation period of an oil shortage. It's here! It's here! It's here! It's here! It's here! You people living without God, you folks who booze it up and live it up and curse God and leave God out of your life, you're just around the corner from crying, oh God, oh rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. You're about to look up to God and cry for mercy, but God looked down from heaven and mocked at you because you waited too late. You ladies that have thought only about how pretty you are and how many nice clothes you can wear and how much you can stir the passions of men, you're about to face your God. You men who thought of nothing but making money and business and getting ahead in life and left God out of your life, you're about to face your God. You young people think of nothing but boyfriends and girlfriends and how you can get popular and how you can get ahead and what the world can give you, you're about to face your God. And I raise my voice this morning with prophets all over this nation and say with the prophet Amos who said to his people years ago, prepare to meet thy God. This is it. This is it. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 9, we have an interesting story. How that two preachers, I think Elijah and Enoch, are going to come back to this world someday and preach. The Bible says they'll preach in Jerusalem, and they'll be killed in the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says they will lie on the streets of the city. The Bible says that all nations and tongues and kindreds will see their dead bodies. I used to read that years ago as a young preacher, and I'd say, how can that be? How can that be? How can it be that two men would die in Jerusalem and the whole world could see them, their bodies on the streets? One night I was out soul winning in Marshall, Texas, out in the country. We had a rich house in our neighborhood, wealthy people, owned a big business in town. I went to try to win those folks to Christ. I knocked on the door. They came to the door, invited me in. They had a box in the living room. I said, what's that? They said, it's a television set. I'd never seen one in my life. A television set. I said, what is it? What do you mean? And they said, you can see pictures of things going on around the world. I said, what? And they showed me. It was very fuzzy. A lot of snow and very fuzzy. But they showed me. They said, this man's in New York City. And I said, I can't believe it. You mean I'm seeing a man in New York City? And it hit me. That's how we'll see the dead bodies of Elijah and Enoch in Jerusalem. Did you know that television had to be invented before Jesus could come? There's no other way under heaven than all the nations in Canada, United States, and England, and Germany, and France, and Russia, and all the countries of the sea could see two dead bodies in Jerusalem. But now they can. Why? This is it. This is it. Revelation chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible teaches us that in the end time, there's going to be a system that'll keep you from buying and selling unless you have the right number. The Bible tells us about a world monetary system. Did you know that world monetary system is closer than you think? Brother Satan is using, and God is allowing, the destruction of the dollar to get this nation ready to accept the world monetary system. Let me give you an example. I have in my pocket my billfold. I have two cards here. I have my Social Security card. The number is 450-30-0185. I hold in my hand my driver's license. The number is 450-30-0185. That number right there, 450-30-0185, before I die, if I live to be 70, if our Lord tarries, will be a number I'm going to have to use before I can buy something at the grocery store. Our Lord said, no man can buy or sell in that day unless he has the mark of the beast. What's that mark going to be? It's going to be your number. That's one reason why I hate the credit card business with a passion. I hate this kind of thing that bundles everybody up, gives everybody a number, makes everybody a statistic. Why? I'll tell you why. Because all of this is pointing to the end time tribulation period when the whole world is under one great dictator. Now listen to me again. Go ahead and get in your car and drive home. Sit down at your table and eat. Look at your refrigerator and take what you want. Open your cabinet. But brother, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because this is it. Our country is going to face days like we've never faced before. Now what am I saying? I'm saying that I believe with all of my soul, and by the way, I've studied this Bible. I have worn out 15 Bibles in the last 28 years. I mean, I've got Bibles in my study that I have read so much, you can't even turn a page without tearing it. And they're not old Bibles either. I have studied this book day and night, and I mean that. Now, I'm no great Bible scholar, but I've studied this book. And I've studied this book day and night for 28 years. If I know one thing in this world, I know that everything that had to happen has happened before our Lord comes again. And one of these days, as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, as sure as I'm here, and I wish I could reach out and grab you by the shoulders and shake every one of you and say, wake up, good night, wake up. But as sure as I'm standing here, we're going to tighten our belts some more. And by the way, that'd be good for a lot of you. A lot of you got to buy a new belt if you don't tighten it. You big... I won't go any further than that. How do you expect to have enough discipline to obey God to go soul winning if you can't obey God about not being a glutton? We're going to tighten our belts. And you just wait. And you say, Hans, don't believe that. You don't have to believe it, but you have to put up with it. And you just wait. One of these days, you're going to turn your radio on. WYCA. And Roy Tobin, on his record, we've made, he's our interest. He's going to say, we now take you to the pastor's study of the First Baptist Church. And recording is going to play, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And Roy Tobin's going to say on the recording, and now, here's Pastor Hyatt's. And then recorded music will come on at the station. And you're going to say, where is that fellow? And you're going to walk in, some of you folks, as sure as I'm standing here, you're going to walk in this room one of these Sunday mornings. And instead of 6,876 in Sunday school, you're going to find about 300 in Sunday school that morning. You're going to find nobody's in the choir much. You're going to find the platform is empty. You're going to say, what's happened? What's happened? You're going to call the radio station. And you're going to begin to hear on television and radio, thousands, millions are missing. Cars have gone unattended, plowing into the side of the road and clashing into each other. Trains have gone without the engineers. Mad train wrecks and airplanes have crashed for the lack of a pilot all across this nation. And you're going to say, what's happened? Oh my. I remember one morning, I went to First Baptist Church of Hammond. And Brother Hyle stood up and hollered and screamed about this is it. He told about a time when the Lord Jesus was going to come back from heaven. And an archangel was going to shout. And the trumpet was going to sound and the dead in Christ were going to rise. Oh, he was right. God's always right. God's always right. And you're going to say, I better get saved. And you're going to fall on your face and say, oh, God, save me. But brother, my Bible says it'll be too late for you to get saved then. There won't be any hope then. That's why I go day and night. That's why I try to take care of myself. I dreamed the other night. I dreamed the other night that I was at the judgment seat of Christ. I dreamed the rapture had taken place and I was in the sky with Jesus. Oh, I don't know what he's going to look like, but I dreamed what he looked like. And I dreamed I was looking in his face. And I said, Jesus, I preached to you. I never trim a message one time. Sometimes I'm stubborn, but I never trim a message. I always told him what I thought was right. And I'm so glad to see him. And I looked in his face. And I dreamed I looked down from heaven. And I was amazed at who I saw left on earth. I beg you, dear friends, I beg you, prepare to meet God. If you're saved, get busy for God. Spend yourself. Spend yourself! Give it all you've got! no time to loaf. It's no time to slack up. It's time to throw on it for Jesus and get busy for God. And if you're here this morning and you've not been saved, in God's dear name, I beg you, receive Christ. For this is it. Let us pray.